girlfriend, Tamara Gee, and her unborn child. Just to make things that much more scandalous, after my parents' deaths, Tamara announced to the press that she had been sleeping around with my father. Good times. That brings me to today, which really isn't the best time to be reminiscing about the past. I had to put on a positive face for Matthew, who I had come to visit, in prison. Deep inside the infamous New York City jail, known for good reason as the Tombs, I held my breath as a beefy guard led me down a long gray cinder block hallway that was pungent with the reek of urine and male sweat, and deposited me in a folding chair outside a plexiglass cell. Wait. So I did. And immediately began to nervously toy with the buttons on my peacoat. Matthew's trial was set to begin in just a few days, and I was here to bring him bad news. His so-called airtight alibi for the night of Tamara's murder had just completely imploded. I felt sick to my stomach just thinking about what could happen to him, and, in turn, what might happen to what was left of our family. My hands were shaking. I used to be the picture of calm in any and all situations, but these days, I was feeling so raw that it was hard to remember how the numbing pills my parents had given me every day of my life kept my emotions in check. I heard the echo of footsteps approaching from somewhere behind the concrete walls. Still no Matthew. Hinges squealed and metal scraped against stone. A door slammed shut and locked. Each sound was more hopeless than the last. Finally, the door at the back of the plexiglass cell opened, and Matthew shuffled in with a uniformed guard right behind him. You might remember when Matthew Angel won the Heisman, how he bounded up onto the stage with a self-satisfied grin and lifted the heavy trophy over his head while camera flashes popped. Maybe you've seen him returning kickoffs for the New York Giants, spiking the ball in the end zone and raising his fist to the sky. At the very least, you probably know him as the dude in the soup commercial. Matthew Angel has always been the guy every Pop Warner grade schooler wants to be. A heroic, rock star jock, all muscle, smiles, and thoroughbred speed. A football god. That person was now unrecognizable. Matthew had been transformed into a brooding Hulk in an orange jumpsuit, wrists cuffed to a chain around his waist, shackles around his ankles. My formerly cocky brother was too embarrassed and miserable to even look at me as the guard put a heavy hand on his shoulder and forced him into a chair before uncuffing him. My eyes filled with tears. It was a feeling I was still getting used to. Matthew managed a half smile, then leaned close to the grill that was set into the glass wall. Hey, Tandy. How are you? How are the guys? Our brothers, Harrison and Hugo. Even in the throes of this misery, Matthew was thinking about them. About me. One tear spilled over. I wiped it away before he could look up and detect any weakness. I took a deep breath. Matthew, there's something I have to tell you. Chapter 2. It's about your friends, Maddie, I said through the grid. The ones who swore they were playing poker with you when Tamara was killed, they say they lied to protect you, but now they've had some kind of crisis of conscience. They told Philippe they're not going to lie under oath. I held my breath and waited for the inevitable explosion. While Matthew had a polished and shiny rep in public, we inside the Angel family knew that any given moment he could go nuclear. Prone to violent outbursts, was the clinical phrase. But today, my brother simply blinked. His eyes were heavy with sadness and confusion. I might have done it, Tandy, he finally mumbled. I don't know. Matthew, come on, I blurted, panic burbling up inside my chest. You did not kill Tamara. He leaned in closer to the grid. His hand flattened against the glass so that his palm turned white. The guys are telling the truth, Tandy,